Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, jubilant, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Shereen Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of the Stars Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. Now, when you last tuned in, I'm sure you got something out of that show, and I really do appreciate Odelia for coming on and just pushing through with me. But I was truly, truly sick, and I thought I could do it without having to go through so much coughing and pain, but it is what it is. Things happen, and we have to move on. But I hope that you were blessed and got some information from the domestic violence show that took place a couple of weeks ago, Surviving and Overcoming, because Diamonds in the Rough will be given our next workshop, an annual workshop, Running into the Light. So if you are interested, you could certainly come out. Information will be put out soon. It will take place in February, combined with our Promises number 7 luncheon and awards ceremony, and that is going to be taking place the same day, the same time next year. So information will be put out. It's going to be on Facebook, Instagram. I'm going to be putting it on Twitter, you name it, and just getting the information out there. So if you know somebody that has suffered from abuse, who is trying to get more information, trying to be on that road to healing, please contact me via email, ShereeHumphrey@gmail.com. I want to thank you for tuning in. This is Talk to Me Radio, a part of Talk to Me Media. We have interviewed over 250 people. This has reached over 10,000 in listenership. I have been blessed to interview celebrities and non-celebrities alike, because it doesn't mean that you're better than no one else. You're just someone who is further and closer to your what you're doing in life, and someone who has actually had doors open for you in the area of what it is that you're trying to do and progress in. So I just want to thank God for that, because you know, for giving me this platform and being able to do this show, to reach out to so many people, and so many people have actually reached out to me and given me the knowledge and given me some nuggets that I can go for. But we're talking about tonight we're talking about laughter. We're talking about joy, because this is a season where many get depressed. People pass away, seem like more so during this season. You got people who have gone through all kinds of issues and traumatic experiences, some loss of family members and don't have family to be with on these holidays. So for some people, it's rough. So I want to just bring some joy to this particular broadcast, so that you might be able to spread it to some of your friends and your family, because we have two wonderful comedians that are coming on tonight. I mean, one young lady, Mika Jean, she has really been doing her thing in the East Coast, and she has really made a platform and a brand for herself just by being who she is. And, you know, that's what it's about, doing something that you love and progressing at it and moving forward in it. And she's going to bring us some joy on tonight so that we may have that joy. And I'm encouraging you, when you get around your family and friends for the holiday time, that you spread some joy, that you spread some love, that you bring some laughter. You know what I'm saying? Because some people just going to be miserable no matter what it is. They can have a good job, still miserable. They can have a good life financially, still miserable. So please bring some joy, you know, to whomever it is that you might. You may not be a comedian, but you could bring some kind of joy to somebody, you know, and lift up somebody's spirit. So in any case, I do want to start off with some scriptures, because, you know, scripture-based, you know, I do play a little bit of everything like secular music, non-secular, that is family oriented or you know, that is decent. But at the same token, this is a faith-based broadcast, so I do have to say some scriptures. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says, it's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. All right, so we know when we get with our family and friends, and even if you may have people that you call family, that's your family. You know, get around them, enjoy yourself, you know, and just be merry, because life is too short, you know, and if you're always around somebody that's constantly miserable and hating, they just got the devil in them. Get away from them. You know, if you can get away from them, get away from them. You know, they ain't got nothing to laugh about. They need the Lord. They need some blessing oil. Anyway, let's move on. Psalms 126:2 says, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then is that day among the heathen. The Lord has done great things for them. So, no, everybody don't walk around. We as Christians, we're trying to get it right. We just don't go to. We just want to go to for our feelings, for our love, for our joy, for our peace, who to ask for that help and assistance, who to repent to. But we're not perfect. So, you know, when people look at us, we want to have some kind of joy, some kind of something to smile about, to be happy and thankful and grateful for. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what the other person is going through that's next to you. You don't know what nobody is dealing with. You have no idea what I'm dealing with. No matter how many radio shows I've been on. I've been on Terrible T Show on Monday, Tyrone Dunmore, and it blessed me, you know, to be on that show, because he was educating me. We were all piggybacking off of each other, and it was really good. But you don't know what someone has to go through to get to that next level in God. But encourage somebody. But anyway, let's move on. Proverbs 17:25 says, a merry heart doeth good, like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. It dry up your face too. It dry up your mouth. You look crunched up. You look unhappy. You know, you look like the Grinch. Do something to make yourself have some joy. There's something in everybody that is good. Find what is good in you and move forward in that thing, if it ain't but just one thing. You know, some people have many talents. Some people have one. But if you got that one thing that can bring you joy, try to do it as much as possible so that it can bring you joy in a merry spirit, so that it can heal your soul. Because, like I said, you know, you go through too much as it is. You need to have some kind of relief. Like Ecclesiastes said, there is a time for everything. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I would like to introduce my guest, and I want to introduce her the right way. Mika Jean is Connecticut Princess of Comedy writer, and she has also started her career in 1999 in Norfolk, Connecticut at Knickerbocker's Open Mic Night. A friend of hers daringly signed her up to perform. Being observed by the other comedians that night has opened many doors for her. Since then, she has worked with many comedians such as Paul Mooney, Michael Collier, David Alan Greer, Tommy Davidson, Lisa Pinelli, Bill Burr, Freddie Ricks, and Jimmy Fallon, just to name a few. Making fun of her parents' accents, past financial struggles, politics, current events, and most of her personal situations have made her recognized for her unique comedy style. And I personally have seen her do comedy and have had the opportunity, you know, blessed to have shared some time with her at her house and stuff like that. She's just naturally funny, period. She just got the gift. Being a young, eye-catching female in the game of comedy has made her stand out. Her unique style of comedy has allowed her to perform at many comedy clubs, for example, the Laugh Factory, Gotham Comedy Club, Comic Strip Live, Footprints, New York Comedy Club, and many more. She has performed for television networks like HBO Stand Up, Comedy Central, and BET's Comic View. Mika Jean has become very comfortable on stage performing for outsized crowds. She has been reaching diverse audiences throughout the country and overseas. She will continue to pursue a variety of challenges in the entertainment world by overcoming the statistics. I hope I said that right, statistics. All right, so let's have her on right now. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, girl. You said it right. Statistics.
How
you good?
Yes. Okay.
Oh, good.
Yes, I'm already excited to have you come back on because you've been on Talk to Me many years ago.
Ooh.
Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now. I'm sorry. Boost Mobile.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying, you know, you've been on Talk to Me many years ago when we first met, and we met through my cousin. I saw you do stand-up, and like I said, you're just naturally funny, and you're a beautiful woman as well, you know, and you're teaching your son
how
to do it now.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not teaching him. He's just picking up from it. I be trying to tell him, like, you know, there's other avenues in life, and he just wants to be a comedian. I'm like, start after college, you know. Don't be the class clown, but it's inevitable. It's just what,
yes.
He's just falling into it right now. It's inevitable.
Okay. Now,
what makes it so bad is that he be trying to tell me jokes all the time, and I'm not trying to hear it.
Yeah, because I was hoping he was coming on tonight, but you said that he's not feeling well tonight. And I wondered, because he was on, he actually performed Four Diamonds in the Rough a long while ago when he was like
years
three,
ago,
right?
yes. I actually, plenty of times in the past too, I put him on stage with me and he has his little jokes, you know, because people think he's part of my, I ain't have no babysitter for the night, so you get two for one.
Okay.
Whatever works for mama, right?
Okay, exactly. So when you were little,
right,
when you was his age, did you do a lot of comedy and jokes around the house?
When I was his age, my son is 10 right now. When I was his age, I did have a great sense of humor, almost a sick sense of humor, but I didn't really know how funny I was. You know, people say, oh, how did you, you know, how did you become free? And I always tell them, oh, that happened through neglect and whoopings and being a latchkey kid. Because, you know, when you're home alone by yourself, all you got, and back then, we didn't have tablets and phones and all that. Back then, all I had was a couple of Barbies, books, and a mirror. And I used to stay in front of the mirror, and I used to act like a news reporter, and I would be speaking fake Spanish. I would just be trying to be entertaining myself, and now I'm comfortable in front of crowds.
All right.
So that's how it started. And the whoopings helped,
okay,
too.
Yes.
People be like, oh,
yes,
why you got them marks on your legs? Oh, I was in the jungle. I'll make up something real quick. You know, you got to be funny to cover up the tears. I'll get beaten down.
Exactly. So when everybody else was telling mama joke on the South End in Stanford when I was on the school bus, you had to catch on quick, because if you didn't, you would be feeling so low. Because you
mm-hmm.
had to learn how to cap.
And that was something I was not familiar with. I mean, whenever I heard mama jokes, I would run because I knew they was coming to me. I knew it was circling around to me, and I was going to get it because I wasn't raised like that.
I wasn't raised.
I was born in the suburbs. I was born in Stanford, Connecticut. So I didn't know that there was other black people around until I moved to Bridgeport. I was like, wait, that means I'm black too? I didn't even know I was that kind of black. So I didn't have jokes and all of that. So once they start with your mama jokes, I was looking for a rock to hide underneath, because I'm also Haitian. And everybody loved to talk about Haitian booty scratchers and whatnot. So I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to get it.
That did definitely.
That's what made my skin thick. I had to have thick skin messing with them. Your mama did. I don't know what to say. I don't know how their mamas are. I thought everybody's mother was Haitian. But I bet you can find them
so
now.
Your mama's so skinny, she shoot out jelly beans for doodoo.
Your mother's so skinny, her nails are loose. How about that one? Yes, Lord. Okay. Yes, Lord. I got one.
Okay.
I'm going to have to save that one for when I see my bullies again.
All right. Yes. Yes. So how did you develop into, I know it says your friend pulled you on stage, but just because she pulled you on stage don't mean that you had a gift for it. Obviously, you had something in you to make her think, hey,
yeah,
I think my friend would be good at this.
Yeah. I used to work at the mall, and I use my personality wherever I go. I just never thought comedy, ever thought comedy. I was a basketball star. That's what I wanted to do. But we went to Knickerbockers. There was an open mic, which I've never been to an open mic, and I didn't know that she signed me up. All I know is that there's a lot of people in here that I know. Like, I knew a lot of people in here. Then the first person came up. It was funny. It was nice. It was all right. Then the host called me up. When they called me up, I was like, excuse me, that sounds like my name. And I know that nobody got my name. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I went up to the stage, and I just started talking about my parents, imitating them, and I took it from there.
Right. And that's how it
happened.
So what shows did you watch to kind of like, because everybody, you know, African-American community, back in the 70s, there wasn't so many shows, but there were certain ones that everybody watched, and they watched faithfully. So what were those shows that kind of like sparked some interest in you as far as comedy?
You know what? I'd never really watched. I watched shows, but that they didn't influence the comedy. I'm telling you, my childhood, my upbringing influenced my comedy. I liked growing up. I loved watching, All in the Family, Mama's House,
that.
Like, I loved, because, you know, we didn't have cable, so that's what was showing. I watched I take what I was given. But comedy shows, it didn't really influence it. Even now as an adult, I don't watch comedy shows because I don't want anything to influence my natural funny.
Right. I understand that. I rarely listen to myself after I do a show. I mean, it has to be something that I thought I should have said or that somebody else said that I needed to get the information, but I don't even like listening after because it's like, you know, I get what you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's tough. And it, God, don't let me hear myself. It's the worst sounding thing in the world. Like, burn the tape when you finish rolling. I hate the way I sound after I hear myself, like, forget it. I said, what man was that? What man was on the radio? Oh, that was me. Okay.
Well, you got a distinct, you got a distinct voice. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I've been
that,
told.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good thing
so
when the bill collectors are calling.
Okay. All you got to do is disguise your voice. You know how to do it. Give me one of them
come
characters.
Come in handy. Mika Jean ain't here right now. That's bad. I'm mad that I just did that. That's bad. Or I just turned into my mother real quick. Oh, Mika, you calling for my daughter? Oh, no, she's not here, baby. I'm sorry. They come in handy.
Oh, my goodness. So like, when you started to, your platform started to grow and your brand started to be recognized, when was that pivotal point for you?
Oh, I would say in 2004 when I was requested to do comedy in the Bahamas. I was like, no, this is a mistake. Me? And from here on out, I've been requested, like, flown out. And then, you know, it was tough because I used to do my own show, put my own showcasings together. And after the Bahamas shows, I really started honing into my craft and what I do. I really started making sure I know how to set it up. I know how not to talk too long. I know how to be professional and attack every different crowd and, you know, be a I'm not a general comedian, but I can be used on all kinds of stages. You know, so after I did my own show, my own showcasings in New Haven, they weren't working out well. I didn't get that many people. But then I came home. I said, you know what, I'm from Bridgeport. Let me start doing my own shows here. Oh, and the love that I got, I said, this is it. And this is my home. My home is where I grow. I grew home. I didn't grow on the road. I didn't grow in New York. I didn't grow in the Bahamas and Japan and Germany. I grew home. So from there on out, I just started getting better and better because I can try stuff here, whether it's good or bad. I'll get love. My critique, whether it's good or bad, is still love. So that's what I started growing. That's when I just kept growing from there.
Yes. And so do you have anything coming up? What's on the horizon for the end of this year or next year?
Well, actually, I'm glad you asked, girl, because December 2nd, I'm going to use any outlet I got. December 2nd, downtown Bridgeport at Murphy's Law. So I'm hosting a benefit comedy show that I put together. It's called Laugh to Save Puerto Rico. And a portion of the proceeds go to UnidosParaPuertoRico.com to help, you know, with the devastation that's happening. Because in lieu of the event, you know, we have our president who didn't recognize Puerto Rico as part of America. So they were hit with the tail end of the help. So we got to do our part as Americans to help. So I want to do my part because, you know, when Haiti went down, I went quickly and said, I don't know, I don't have anything to give, but let me put together a comedy show. I got that to give, and I got some money, and we donated some money over to Haiti. So why not do it for Puerto Rico,
wonderful.
Too? So December 2nd at Murphy's Law, $10 for advance tickets, $15 at the door. They can find me on Facebook or on Instagram, Mika Jean. Get your ticket.
Okay, wonderful. So can you give them the information as far as how to contact you? Again?
Yes, on Facebook, it is M, like Mike, I-C-H-A, last name, J-E-A-N. On Instagram, it is _ Mika, M-I-C-H-A, _ J-E-A-N. That's Instagram. And you can find all the connects through my PayPal and Eventbrite on my on those either one of those pages.
Okay. Great, great. So everybody get that information, pass it on to your friends. That's December 2nd. And I will definitely put up a post if you tag me in the information and send it out to people that's in my contact list.
Thank you so
and
much.
And so people could, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Because it's all about helping each other. And, you know, when I had
Absolutely.
The original spin on, she was talking about what was going on in Puerto Rico and the things. And she put herself on hold. She was supposed to do a video. She was trying to pull in people, kids from this area, but she had to go home and handle business and try to help out there. And I thought that was a beautiful thing. You know what I mean?
It is. Yeah, that is.
Yeah. So tell us some, you know, like, what was the worst joke you ever told on stage? I mean, like, the most embarrassing.
Well, the joke wasn't embarrassing as much as my whole set was. This must have been
okay.
This is like the within the first year of me doing comedy, and I'm feeling myself because after my first show, I got some at Knickerbockers. I did so well in front of my crowd, my peers, that I was requested to perform at Goth. My head was big. I was 19. My head was big. So I was asked to do a show in New Haven, which I hope to God, I pray and I'm fasting on this, that somebody burn those tapes. But I did a show in New Haven, and you know, black people can make it feel like Vietnam when you're doing comedy for them. And I was so nervous. I was so nervous. I didn't know what to do. So the bartender, I was there early. The bartender was like, oh, how about a shot? I didn't drink like that, but I was like, okay, I see people drinking to take the edge off. Big mistake. This is why I never, ever, 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 ever drink when it comes to business. I took about 3 shots. Girl, when the show started and it was my time, this club had mannequins up, like of old saxophone players, and it was beautiful. I was so wasted that I was doing comedy and talking to the mannequins. I was asking them questions and then wondering why they wasn't responding back. I called one of them Rumpelstiltskin because they was afraid to tell me their name.
Oh my God.
I got booed. That was the first and last show I got booed. I never let that happen again.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it's crazy, you know, when stuff like that happens, you know. And that's why I asked you, because, you know, a good comedian will know how to come back. And sometimes we have those embarrassing moments to teach us and to help us be better. But I do have my next caller on the line. Mika, don't hang up, because I want to end with you. But I know he's on a time constraint, and he did call in. So I want to just read his some parts of his bio very quickly and then plug him in.
Gerald Kelly.
Yes. Gerald Kelly has a multi-dimensional career as a stand-up comic, actor, and executive producer. He built a solid career as a comic and headline show across country. This veteran comedian knows his stuff. His diverse material brings people together all over the world. In the Name of Comedy, known to many as the Green-Eyed Bandit of Comedy, also known as the underrated New York King of Comedy, he made his mark as one of the funniest comics to hit the stage. Russell Simmons calls him the Black Jackie Gleason, and with his brand of comedy, he's guaranteed to make you a believer in the healing powers of laughter, and that's what we opened up talking about. Kelly has hosted and opened up for various iconic comedians and musical artists such as Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, Steve Harvey, the late, great Bernie Mac, Mariah Carey, New Edition, Boyz II Men, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Kirk Franklin. He's been on HBO's Def Comedy Jam, Comedy Central, Showtime at the Apollo, BET's Comic View, Conan O'Brien Show, Chocolate Sundays that Tommy Davidson has hosted. He's been in movies such as The Other Brother, Death of a Dynasty, Cookout 2, Bud's House, Backstage, Comedy in the Hood, Last Bandits, Number 1, Gospel Comedy All Stars 1 and 2, Gerald Kelly on Broadway, and the list goes on. There's no way I can read all of his accolades and the things that he has done, but clearly he has been blowing up. Even since the first time I met him, and I met him through your show, Mika, so I'm going to plug him in right now. Hello?
Hey, that was amazing. I'm like, wow, I did all that?
Yes.
I'm thinking of the end she's about to go. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Chappelle. What a blessing.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. How y'all doing? What's happening?
Hey, Gerald.
I'm doing good.
Hey, honey. What's up, love? I was hearing some of your interview. How you doing, love? How you been?
I've been good. I missed you. It's been a while, huh?
Been a minute. I'm inside the Madison Square Garden, and, you know, folks, oh my God. Oh, you get – I hate to say it, but I got to keep it 100. So I'm good friends with Allen Houston. He used to play for the Knicks superstar legend, and now he's an executive with the Knicks branch. So I'm good friends with him, and I'm good friends with Mike Woodson. He's the assistant coach of the L.A. Clippers. So when I'm in L.A., I go to the games, get great seats. When I'm in New York, I go to the games. So they both are playing each other tonight. So I'm here. So I explain to security in a nice, humble way that
yeah. –
I have to do an interview. I got to go someplace real quiet and yada, 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 yada.
Right.
So he agrees. He takes care of me. He's the head of security. Okay. He's the big dog. And he's also a comedy.
Okay.
He's a fan of my comedy. So I'm sitting inside the theater, which is attached to the Madison Square Garden. It's 5,000 seater. So I'm sitting here going, wow, I performed here like 6 times. I've never been up here
wow.
to see how it looks downward. So I'm sitting here minding my business, waiting to call you. And here comes this white lady, old school security guard, doing too much. So, can I see some ID? It's only me
God.
In here. It's a 5,000 seater. Me in here. I said, ma'am, what's the problem? I need to know why you're in here. So I explained to her why I'm in here, what I'm doing, and this and the third. And, well, they shouldn't let you come in here without any kind of other ID. So she gets on a walkie-talkie. She's messing. She's making me so mad. I'm about to just walk up out of here. I said, I'm losing. I'm about to get upset now. She's about to bring it out of me.
Calm down. That's
security,
what the devil
wants. The devil was in here, too. He just shook his head and walked by. He was like, you know damn well that man's supposed to be in here. Mind your business,
okay.
Maggie.
Right, ain't you supposed to be retired soon?
Yeah, exactly. You know, black people, we use, anytime something don't go our way, black people use the race card. Because I'm black, right?
That's the only reason why you did it.
Yeah, we could be at the all-black affair. We could be at the all-black affair. Because I'm black, and I got on black, right?
Right.
But anyway.
Exactly. But, Gerald, tell us,
because
I want to get the information about your annual show that you do with your son. I know that's coming up soon. That's a special event that you're promoting. So can you tell us a little bit about that first?
Well, it's my son's, plural. My four-year-old son is an internet sensation. He has viral videos in the tens of millions, Little Hunter Kelly. My 11-year-old son's been doing stand-up comedy professionally for 4 years now, and Joshua is incredible. And my oldest son, Isaiah Kelly, is just turned 26. He's been doing stand-up since he was 10 years old. And
Isaiah's doing comedy.
Yeah, you said Isaiah's been doing comedy since he was 10. He's 26 now. It's 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Years.
Go ahead,
yeah,
Daddy.
So Isaiah, like this time. Yeah. So Isaiah's been on tour with Cat Williams and Kevin Hart and people of that nature. So we branded together recently in the last 6-7 months to put our own tour together. So for the first time in the history of stand-up comedy, we have a tour with fathers and sons. Father and sons. It's called the Father and Son Comedy Tour. And we just did 14 cities, and we're heading to Hartford, Connecticut to do the Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut this weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. We're going to do 4 shows at the Funny Bone. And the big show is December 8th at the Symphony Space Theater on Broadway in New York. And next weekend, we're going to be at the Uptown Comedy Corner in Atlanta, Georgia. So we got a lot of things going on. We're working on two reality shows, working on a scripted show called All About the Kellys, a reality show called Raising Comedians. We're getting ready to shoot a Netflix special, a stand-up special with the Father and Sons, first time ever. And then there's a tour. So God is truly amazing. So that's what's going on with that.
And to pull you, both of you, pulling your children in and giving them a platform. And that's what it's all about, you know. And I commend both of you for doing that, because what they need to see. They go by what it is that we do. And I want you, Gerald, because we're talking about mama jokes, what was some of the worst mama jokes or things somebody said to you growing up that you possibly could remember?
Well, I don't remember what mama jokes they said to me that was jokes. They used to talk true stuff. Your mother's on welfare. Your father left your mother. Your mother messed with a married man up the street.
Ain't nothing funny about it.
Your mother will never buy your clothes.
Your mother about to come to school and beat you.
Yeah, your mother's telephone is turned off. So don't tell me the joke.
I had to come up with the joke.
I used to have to come up with
funny
make-believe stuff. You know what I'm saying? So
oh
it wasn't
God.
No joke. But Gerald, you know,
back then, if you told some mama jokes, you better be able to back it up, because once it start getting too heated, you know, you getting a little bit too touchy. Somebody can't take it.
Yep.
You know it's about to happen next.
Right, it's a wrap.
You're talking about somebody's mother used to be fight. That started the fight. That would ignite the flame to start the fight. You talking about my mother? You know, especially when my mother died. Oh, my God.
You don't even have to say anything
about
somebody's mother. Just your mother. And it's a wrap.
Your mother.
Right.
It's on.
Shoulders to shoulders.
Like,
now we're walking in circles.
That's it. Yep. First. I used to, the fights back then were fun. Those were fun fights because somebody always broke that up. I was a kid that I used to fight, I used to look for the person that was coming to break it up. I couldn't wait for the break it up dude to show up and go, come on, we all black. We need to
now it's Spartacus.
Unify.
Now you're fighting for your life.
Yes.
Oh God, I ain't
and
fighting
what about
nobody.
The,
I ain't fighting
put
the nobody.
Stick on my shoulder. Knock that stick off my shoulder. Yeah.
Some days is over.
Hey, don't say that. My mama got diabetes. Don't talk about my mama. Leave her alone.
Okay.
They wouldn't care. These kids today wouldn't care.
But Gerald, were you the funniest one in your family? I mean, like, you know, with Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Not at all. Not even near. My Aunt Shirley, God bless her soul. My Aunt Shirley was the funniest human being alive. Aunt Shirley Oh my God, Aunt Shirley! Let me tell you why, Aunt Shirley. She had a slogan called "Let me hold something." Let me hold something. And she's really.
That's not like my
really,
sister.
Oh my God, let me hold something. Come on, I know you got it.
Always
want to
hold something.
She knew everybody's payday. Let me tell you what. Aunt Shirley had so much game. She faked the pregnancy for 9 months. Break the pregnancy. She had this bubble thing inside of her shirt and jacket she used to wear.
Oh, come on, Shirley.
And then she used to walk. Around like she was pregnant, just so she could have a baby shower. She got all the gifts for the baby shower. and sold the gifts the next day. There was no baby. Nobody saw the baby. That she sold
the
gifts. Oh,
she's a real MVP.
Exactly. That was the funniest person in my family growing up. But
oh, my God.
That was
so
funny.
You piggybacked off of your Aunt Shirley? Was that some of the things that you experienced? Is that what started you? Okay.
Yeah, I was always the funniest kid because I had to. My mother didn't have a lot, but we were really poor. So the kids that had better than me used to talk about my stuff. So I used to just talk about their head. Look at your head. Your head's so big. You don't have dreams. You have movies. You know, when I was little, we used to say stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? We used to talk about that's why your mother. And your, I used to kill them. I used to be like, your mother and your father is the same person. I used to talk bad about.
Dad.
I used to be like. I used to talk bad, and they used to get so mad. But any time they used to come at me, they knew you better come correct. Cause we call this snapping. Snapping, jumping, bagging. You know, snapping.
We call it capping.
Capping. I was in my neighborhood. I was the funniest guy in my neighborhood. Middle school, I was really funny. Elementary school, I wasn't really that funny. In high school. At home on the neighborhood.
How you skip elementary school?
I said elementary school. I wasn't really that funny. Elementary, middle school, and then high school. I was all about the ladies. I was about the girls in high school, but I was a funny dude in my neighborhood. Tracy Morgan went to high school with me, so Tracy was a funny guy in high school. Yeah, Tracy Morgan. We went to Dewitt Clinton High School together, so he was the funny dude. But he wasn't the funniest dude in high school. The funniest guy was this guy named Leroy. Leroy was hilarious, but he didn't turn into a professional comedian, but he still was a funny guy. Guess what I did for this big show December 8th in New York at the Symphony Space Theater? I got Leroy hosting the show for us.
Oh, that's nice.
That's good.
Got Leroy hosting. And he's excited, and I know he's going to do a doggone good job. And, you know, I'm just excited at what God is doing for us, you know.
Absolutely. And you're going to see me on the horizon, too. I got an act that I've been doing since 2002. Her name is Mother Megot. It used to be Blind Old Lady with a Cane. But I'm going to be calling you for some tips. I'm going to be calling you, Gerald, because I've already done it on stage a few times, and people are asking for it to come back. So, I mean, I really look up to you guys in this area because it takes a lot to get on stage and tell some jokes. You can tell jokes at home all day long.
You better tell them.
You know what I mean? Telling jokes at home is different.
it's really different.
So, as far as because there's always business to any artistry, and a lot of times artists forget about the business aspect. What are you telling your sons, or what nuggets do you give to anybody that is trying to be a comedian, but they're not thinking about the business part of it, the things that you got to do behind the scenes?
Well, I tell everybody it's called show business for a reason. You know, it's 20% show, 80% business. And you have to handle the business. Being business savvy in this game, you'll get taken advantage of if you don't know. You got to know where the money's going. You got to know how many seats are in the venue. What are the ticket prices? When people call me up, you know, my sons get a lot of bookings, and I call. There's some offers that come to me, and I go, hey, listen, that's not enough money. You got the wrong Kelly. You must want the 11-year-old with that offer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So. I teach them how to just handle their business, you know, take care, you know, me and my 11-year-old, we work on his speech. He likes to, we make him read a lot. I make him read. So, and then I make him understand a joke that we wrote. If I wrote a joke for you, I want you to understand where that joke is coming from. What are the big words in that joke? So then I'll give him the vocabulary words in that joke, and he'll read the jokes, read the words, write the word out about 10, 20 times. You know, then I also let my children study entertainment. They study the failures, the success. They know the ups and downs of the business, and they know how to speak the dialogue. You get them on a radio interview, they're not just going to go, So it's a lot of business. So they're learning the business more, you know, and I teach them the do's and the don'ts. My oldest son, Isaiah, who's been doing comedy since he was like 9 years old, he's still learning the business. He has to understand that he has to get out there and hustle a lot more, and he has to handle his business a lot more. You know, your press kits have to be done. I tell my kids, let me see that press kit, okay? When I say to their mother, to their mom, to my son's mother, I need him to go get his headshots. They need new pictures. Every 6 months, they need new pictures. You know,
right.
I teach my kids how to, you know, so, and but also what I do is teach my kids how to be good human beings. You know, we don't just do stand-up comedy. We have an initiative called Microphones Up, Guns Down.
Yeah.
We are advocates
for
gun
that.
Violence
yep.
affecting the community, yeah, affecting the communities across this country. And we teach children how to use a microphone to express themselves in a positive manner. I have a bunch of articles in the Huffington Post, and, you know, I've been on several radio shows talking about this stuff, you know. So from Steve Harvey to Tom Joyner to The Breakfast Club. So I teach my kids that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And so much is given, much is required. They have to work hard,
absolutely.
But they have to take care of others. You have to, you know, when you leave this earth one day, because we all will leave it, and when you leave it, you want to be known for not just being talented. You want to be known for what you did. Was you a philanthropist? Was you respectful? You know, so those are things that we're
right.
working on. So.
And you know what, Gerald? When you said that, the Microphones Up and the Guns Down initiative, a book you need
yes.
to get is my book that I just wrote. I've been promoting my book. It'll be on Our Lives on December 3rd. It'll be airing. But I've been on a whole bunch of radio shows. I can't
Girl,
remember
what W
all.
Is it?
W is 106.5, 103.
Pick a W.
But in any case, to try to get the word out there. Yes, because my book is called Don't Hurt Me With Brutality. It's about a young black boy who loses both of his older brothers, one to police brutality, one to black crime. And it is a dialogue that he's having with his mother about him, people in the community allowing him to grow up, to be a child, to be able to grow up and become a doctor and not be afraid to even be outside and play. So I'm trying to get the word out about this book so that people will take an interest in it, because it's not just any old child book. It's about what's going on, what's been happening in our community across the board. And so when you say Microphones Up and Guns Down initiative, this is something that would be very helpful for boys that are in your particular initiative around 7, 8, and 9 years old. So I just wanted to throw that out there. But
yeah,
I want to commend you.
I like that. I like that. I mean, it's going to take a village. I mean, it's a lot of work to be done. You know, I'm just not put on this earth to be funny. But I really appreciate you guys, but I have to get out of this area right here. They let me get here. They only said I could be here for 15, 20 minutes. So I got to
okay.
get out of this area and go back into to the main area where it's going to be loud at. But
yes.
The next, let me know when we're available to chat again. I want to give out
okay.
my social media handles, if you don't mind. People can
yeah,
get
absolutely.
In contact with me. Everyone can get in contact with me several ways. My Instagram, my IG is Gerald, G-E-R-A-L-D, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, simple, Gerald Kelly. My Twitter is Gerald, N-Y-L-A, New York, L-A. And my Facebook is Gerald Kelly, G-E-R-A-L-D, K-E-L-L-Y. The initiative is Microphones Up, Guns Down. The tour is called the Father and Sons Comedy Tour. And if whatever city you're in, if you're in Connecticut, you're in Connecticut this weekend, come see me at the Punchline, four big shows, not the Punchline, the Funny Bone in Hartford, Connecticut, the Funny Bone. Two shows Friday, two on Saturday. If you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, come see us at the Uptown Comedy Corner, the 30th, December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And then December 8th, you can catch us at the Symphony Space Theater, that's my birthday. The Father and Sons Comedy Show hits Broadway December 8th. SymphonySpace.org is how you get your tickets. And I really had a good time talking to you ladies, and I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. Thank
had a good
you
time
so
talking to you,
on.
Too.
I
miss you so much.
Miss you, too. Get in contact with me now. Call me.
I sure will, and I'm still holding you accountable. You said that you was going to babysit my son if I ever needed it, so I'm going to put in that call somewhere. He said it.
Oh,
he said that like 9 years ago, but he said it.
Let me tell you something. If nothing else, I'm good at it. I know how to watch some kids.
Yeah, you better get my son paid, too. He got two jokes. Get him paid.
For real. All right, ladies. You have a blessed day, ladies.
All right. You
too.
Have a good night.
All right.
Thank you so much for
all right,
calling
thank you
in.
So much. All right.
Bye-bye,
guys.
Bye.
Let's hold the line, Mika. Don't hang up. Don't hang up.
Okay.
I just want to go to a very quick break. Don't hang up. And we're going to come back and we're going to finish up with Mika Jean. And I'm also going to give some announcements as to some things that's going on and with Diamonds in the Rough and also with my books and some other stuff that may be taking place. Okay? All right. Hold on 1 second. I got to play this theme song. For Thanksgiving weekend, but I've got to. This is how I'm serious.
From Television City in Hollywood.
Mika.
The commercial music. The commercial music. She got me over here shucking and jiving, and I don't even know how to. Good time. Temporary layoff. Good time. I don't know who was having a good time getting laid off, but go ahead. Go ahead. I guess.
Hanging in a jiving. I don't know what that sounds like. But,
shucking and a jiving.
I never knew.
But that was
what that was.
That was fun.
Hanging in the jiving.
That is too funny. I have fun. I had fun with you and Gerald. Oh, how I miss that guy.
Yes.
He's such a cool, funny guy.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And you know, when I think back, it was at your comedy show that you did. I don't even know what year this was. It must have been like 2009 or 2010.
Yeah, I used to use Gerald
like
a lot.
Yep, yep. Long time ago, and then I had him on then. It was right after you, I think, that same year. And so I'm just grateful that both of you took your time out to come back on. Real quickly,
absolutely.
Everyone listening, you're listening to Talk to Me Radio. This is Sheree Humphrey. I am your host. We have had two wonderful comedians on tonight that just had me in stitches. I needed this laugh myself. everybody that knows me well knows that I am silly. You may see a serious side, but in my family, I'm the jokester. I was the class clown. I was the one getting kicked out.
Yes,
I'm
not alone.
Saying, you know, with Mika, when he said, let me hold something, I was the one saying, let me hold something.
Let me hold something, correct.
That's a whole nother show. Let me stop right there. Oh, my God. But we have a good time around the holidays. And my family is loud with a capital L. I don't know about yours, nigga. How yours be?
My family is a little reserved. We're not black. I'm telling you, we're different than your East Coast black. Okay, my mother comes from a nice part of Haiti. I don't even want to start playing my country like that, but she comes from a nice part of Haiti, where it's like 30% less dirt than the rest of Haiti. Less sand.
Okay.
But we not turned up like that. My parents don't understand what happened to me, but I'm turned up.
You know what I'm saying? In my family, there's about 15 conversations going on at the same time.
At one
so
time,
if
yep.
You can't,
yep.
Yeah, if you don't talk loud, you will not be heard. I'm just saying.
You ain't going to get heard.
That's it.
That's funny. You ain't gonna get. You better open your mouth and say something.
Exactly. You better say something because ain't nobody gonna say it for you.
Yeah, my Thanksgiving normally consists of myself, my brother, my sister, all joking. My father spitting out an inappropriate joke, and my mother leaving the table crying because she's so embarrassed by the whole thing. And we're all laughing at her. That's normally how every single Thanksgiving. I'm planning on recording it this year just so I can show the world what it is like.
Okay. Yes. And the dance contest. Don't can't forget the pop locking and the break dancing. Because when Bubba comes over with his family, and back in the day, you know what I'm saying? The pop locking and the break dancing tough back then. So it's just funny games, and you gotta love it because you're uniquely put in a family for a reason, whether they're blood or not. So I encourage somebody to get around somebody that loves you and that you love them, whether you're blood related or not. Find somebody that you can spend the holiday seasons with. I want to encourage everybody and have a wonderful Thanksgiving and holiday season. Happy Kwanzaa, if I don't remember to say it on the next show. But I want to go to another break and play a little bit of some jokes, and then I'm going to come back on with end it with some announcements. So I want to thank you so much, Mika, for joining us.
I had so much fun. Anytime.
Thank you. And I hope the baby feels better. I hope he feels better. So
I'll tell him.
You know,
thank you so much.
Yeah. Yes. Next time. Tell him next time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Mika Jean, Connecticut, Princess of Comedy, and Gerald Kelly, calling from Madison Square Garden, the Green Eyed Bandit of comedy. And it's just been a pleasure to have them both on. This is Talk to Me Radio you're listening to right now. Tune in, stay. Don't hang up. Don't close out of your computer or anything. I'm going to play this real quick, and I'm going to give you a few announcements and end the show.
Your mama is so fat, when her beeper goes off, people think she's backing up.
Yeah, your mama is so fat, when she goes to the movies, she sits next to everyone.
Your mama is so fat, when she goes in a restaurant, she looks at the menu and says, okay.
Your mama is so fat, she has to iron her pants on the driveway.
Your mama is so fat, she puts her lipstick on with a paint roller.
Your mama is so fat, she has to pull down her pants to get in her pocket.
Your mama is so fat, you have to take a train and two buses just to get on her good side.
Your mama is so fat, she has to wake up in sections.
Your mama is so fat, she sat on a quarter and a booger popped out of George Washington's nose.
Your mama's so fat, she put on some...
All right, this is Talk to Me Radio. This is Minister Sheree Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough. I wanted to let you know, if you want to order some of my books, I have different types of books that reach children. We're dealing with the emotional issues, that they might be stemming from being at risk, being in lower income neighborhoods, dealing with abuse or overcoming abuse or trying to prevent abuse, also having gone through police brutality or witnessing it or anything along those social lines. That's what my book reaches, and even an adult can benefit from reading it. So I'm urging you to go to www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org/book and go up there, read the descriptions. If you'd like to place an order or a bulk order for your school or your organization or donate books for the holidays, please call me up or text me. 203-952-9807 or email me CherieHumphrey@gmail.com. There's several methods of payments that can be made even if you are out of state that we can work out and get going. Also, our live, Gwen Edwards had me on again, and I just want to say thank you so much to Gwen Edwards. She has been a blessing in my life. I met her as a deacon at Union Baptist Church back in 2001, I think. And I was being baptized for like maybe what, the third or fourth time. Myself, trying to dip myself in the water like damn. But anyway, my first time being on her show was in 2003. I was with a poetry group. I don't even remember who. But I do know the poetry group was from New York, and she gave us a platform to come on and to share some of those poems. And you just don't know what someone is going through, you know what I'm saying? And I can recall watching myself on TV, and at that time I was struggling with alcoholism, and I was going through such a depression. And, you know, that show, watching and seeing myself on that show that day made me put that bottle down. It's been almost 12 years since I've been alcohol free, 12 years since I've been celibate, nothing but the grace of God, and been ordained since 2010, then again in 2012. So God can turn anything around, you know. Just because you come from a certain socioeconomic status does not mean that you won't go through anything, good or bad or indifferent. So, and it doesn't mean just because you have a certain amount of money or you don't have a certain amount of money that you won't go through certain things. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't know that I lacked anything financially, but emotionally, yes, I did, because I was going through abuse. And so I did the best with what God had given me. And I still have a picture of me smiling, laughing through those times. But, you know, and you know, even a picture my girlfriend Cindy sent me from the fourth grade, you know, laughing through those times, you know, with my friends, because I love church, I love school, and I wanted to be better, I wanted to be good. And you know, to enjoy life and what I thought would be normal. And you know, it took so many people, especially women, that put me under their wing, that taught me things, that imparted good things to me, that helped me, excuse me, and pushed me along the way. And it takes a village, just like Gerald has the Microphones Up and Guns Down initiative. He's teaching his children how to follow in his footsteps, and I'm sure they have it naturally from them. Mika is doing the same thing with her son. I tried to push my niece, because I don't have children, push my niece, hey, I'm an author. Let Auntie show you how to be an author, too. You know, if this is your gift, and clearly it is, because you have to think good in these children and set the expectations high for whatever it is that you want them to accomplish, and then let them grow into that. But like they say, train up a child in the way he should go, and he shall not depart from it. If you just instill that Bible in them, instill the Christian vanity in them, put the love of God in them, put the fear of God, because that's something that's missing, fear, and the proper fear. I'm not talking about abuse fear. I'm talking about proper fear, where you reverence the elders, where you reverence your mother and father and your teacher and different people in high standing, and give them respect off the bat because you were a child. And so this is the way we was taught as we were growing up. It was up to the adults not to abuse their authority. So in any case, what I'm trying to say is find something good in that baby. Find something good in that child. Encourage them. And if you don't know how to do it, get one of my books, and I guarantee you that'll give them a little start if you don't know what to say. But there's always somebody out there willing to help and willing to guide you along the way if you don't know what you're doing before we damage more people in this world. So I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Have a blessed Turkey Day. Don't eat too much for your pop. But thank you so much, and we'll be back again in another 2 weeks with a different broadcast. Go to my website. I will be putting up information as to Promises 7 fundraiser and voice banquet that will be taking place in February, also running into my 5 workshop. And I'll have that information up there. Thank you so much. God bless. I'm proud of me, proud of me, proud of me, proud of me. I've been through dark nights when all I did was cry. Made the best decision of my life when I said goodbye. Oh, 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 yeah. I'm proud of me. Now what was I thinking? How did I let myself stay so long? Tried to change you. Now I don't even want to know what. Listen, you ain't gonna change, no. Save myself my time and my tears when I said I'm proud of me. I'm proud of me. I've wasted so much energy giving up myself. I mean, the very best of me. The thing that sacrificed just to make it right. Dreaming of a better life. You ain't gonna.